Welcome to the Gals Guide podcast. Join us on an adventure to get to know famous and infamous women from around the world. Each of our presenters has a pick. Is she ancient history? Is she breaking news? Is she safe for work? Well, that's up to each presenter. All we know is that...
Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Welcome back. I'm Katie, and I'm joined by Rilu and Amy. Bonnie had to step out.
Bonnie had to go.
She had family plans.
She did.
We still love her.
It's okay. There was a ham waiting.
There was a ham involved.
I mean, we are recording, and tomorrow is Easter, so nobody can get away from the ham.
This is very true.
Except me, because we don't eat ham.
Me too.
All right. Well, Amy and Rilu and I will continue on with recording this month.
Absolutely.
Bonnie did share with us about Armenia the First.
Yes.
Amy shared about Samara El Motri.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And about the social media crackdown in Egypt, mm-hmm. which is fucking dumb.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just saying that.
Boy, I talked a lot and I could have summed that up in two words.
We needed the full experience.
I mean, if you can't feel that amount of outrage and understand like how insidious it is, it's just,
it's
you need it laid out, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yes, thank you.
Right. I don't have anything that deep for us.
Okay.
Which is good, because I've had a lot of beer to go with my peanut butter cupcakes.
Oh, you're so good. Yes.
Thank you.
Right.
Yes. But before we learn about my one gal.
Yeah.
I want us to share something random.
Yeah.
And you know it's me, so it's always got to be about food.
Yes.
Okay. I want to know, what is your favorite Middle Eastern food?
Well, I'm very excited that falafel is a Middle Eastern food because really I just think of it as a more savory, better tasting hush puppy. Because I love hush puppies, but there's not a lot going on there. But you get me falafel.
Oh, so good.
And right? I'm there for it. Like, and I've seen all, like, Josh has gotten, my husband's got all these different kind of like mixes. And it's like, hey, do you want to try this? And I'm like, you know what? I have not found a falafel I don't like yet. So bring it on.
Keep making it.
Exactly. There's no wrong answer in that.
And are you a hummus fan too?
Oh my gosh. I love the hummus. I really, really do. Also any flavor as well, whatsoever. Like, unless it has the
Are you into the
jalapeno.
Dessert hummus?
It's weird. My brain has a hard time. I've done it. And I've done it on
I feel
like
the trauma. There was a pause.
Because my brain goes, this should be savory, not sweet.
Yeah.
And so I think it's the dyslexia. I think it's just
I blindfolded.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. It's not like a kinky suggestion.
Just call it,
but
call it cookie dip.
And I do. That's kind of how I think of it. Yeah. Just put it with a cookie dip.
What if I told you I put hummus in these cupcakes?
I'd love you for it.
I did not.
You did not put hummus in the cupcakes. All right. But next time?
Maybe.
Chickpea cupcake?
It's possible.
The hummus is amazing. Yeah. No, I like it.
I make a lot with aquafaba from chickpeas, so.
Oh.
It's a possibility.
Yes.
How about you, Amy? Anytime. Do you have a favorite Middle Eastern food?
I do, and it's mostly because of the memories.
Oh, there you go. A food is very much tied to memories, so
And it is also delicious. But when I was in college, my very, very bestie best friend, his mom, they were Armenian, and his mom is a caterer and a chef.
Ooh,
and
it's a good friend to have.
Yes. And one of their holiday foods was kukkoo.
Oh, and what is that?
Kukkoo is eggs and magic and vegetables. I do not cook.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
So you can ask me about ingredients. I'm like, there was stuff and there was egg.
Yep.
Okay. I was told there was egg.
Right.
I really have no idea, but it's almost like a quiche or frittata, but the flavors are so good.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just having such a good time at his house for the holidays and eating the kukkoo, and it's called kukkoo.
I know, right?
It's awesome.
Were you kukkoo for kukkoo?
Yes. And apparently it is served in different variations throughout the Middle East.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's
nice.
Just an egg dish.
You can go travel around to try different variations.
Try all the kukkoos.
Yes.
And, and it's made sort of like how a quiche is. So it's in a pan and in slices.
Gotcha.
But it's so, it's delicious. And I just have such fond memories of, because he his family lived in the same town that our college was. So
nice.
We ended up hanging out at their house a lot, like our little group of friends.
That's where the food was.
Yeah, that's where the food was. His dad was like a big wine guy and was always, you know, having us taste the wine and sniff it and do all this crazy stuff. Right. And I don't know what's going on. His mom's the caterer, so she's always trying new recipes.
Oh, nice. It sounds like Kiki's dream. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so it just ended up, that was sort of the, we always met there.
Yeah.
And then went, that's where we would go before
spot.
We went out. Yeah. Like the pregame was at Alex's house for snacks and wine with his dad. And
yeah,
I don't know. And his house was just, it's one of those houses, like I still dream about his couch. Like it was the couch where like it just sucked you in. Half the time we would never even go out.
Right. Because like, it would be so much fun to be in, right?
I'm in the couch now. The couch is not letting me go.
And they're bringing food and wine.
It's like, I'm in the couch. That I'm not perfect. Leaving. So, yeah, nice. I just look back on that so fondly, that time, and just how much fun it was. And
yeah.
That was just
and the food tied to
delicious
it.
Food. Yeah.
I was going to say, like, memories and food going together and using food to celebrate certain occasions. Mm-hmm. It's
like
a deep
birthday
memory.
Cupcakes. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, I love Middle Eastern food, and I definitely want to explore even further.
Yeah.
Especially since at home we eat vegan, and there's so many possibilities in Middle Eastern food that encompass that.
Yeah.
I definitely love me some hummus and some falafel, saffron rice.
Oh, yeah.
Not vegan, but baklava.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about baklava, which is one of Josh's favorites.
It,
I've made it for him before.
There's...
Yes.
Whoa,
I know.
Fancy.
It's layers upon layers.
It is.
It was a dedication.
Awful. I had to make that for... like a second grade class for their cultural studies.
It's a complicated
dish. I'm like, what did you
make?
Sign me up for? Yeah. You know, they come home with the little scrap of paper and it's like, I don't know how, I can't make,
did somebody pick
I can't
this out of
make pancakes. Like, what are you saying? I cannot make this.
Oh, it was a trip to make, but it was delicious.
Food is such a great way to learn about other cultures, though. It definitely is, and really like engages you and opens your mind to learning more about those places.
Yeah.
So, I love that. I've always got to ask about people's favorite foods from
I like
different
it.
Cultures.
As you should.
I know, right?
Well, who do you
well,
have
my
for
lady
us?
Has nothing to do with food.
That's fine.
I don't know
That's
her
fine.
Favorite food. I don't know anything.
No worries.
But definitely a super interesting lady.
Yeah.
She also comes from Egypt.
Oh.
We're still kind of in that area.
Look at that.
Her name is Samira Musa.
Gotcha. Nice.
She was the first female Egyptian nuclear physicist.
Whoa.
Nuclear
physicist. Look at that.
So she held a doctorate in atomic radiation.
Okay. Yeah.
We're talking an extremely smart woman here.
Yeah. Nice. She's almost a rocket scientist. She's actually a nuclear scientist.
I'm not even sure I can say nuclear physicist.
You know, I meant to practice at home with Josh before I got here because I didn't want to have a George Bush moment where I said it wrong.
Nuclear.
This is very true. I already said strategery, which was a George Bush Jr.-ism.
She was definitely like, she was a trendsetter. She had many firsts. But as I really hooked onto her and started digging deeper, looking at what showed up when I Googled her, when I looked at YouTube, it was really interesting because a lot of what is first presented as her life is not accurate.
Oh.
So I actually was...
Amy and I are fully like, really? Tell us more.
But I feel like you guys are so aware. I'm so gullible. I'm like, I read it, so it has to be true. Even though I know...
It was the first thing that came up on Google. It's right.
Even though I know in the back of my mind, there's a lot of misinformation out there.
There's a lot. Especially
there's
about
a
women.
Lot, right?
Yeah.
You got to go to page two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's where the good stuff is.
But there's a lot of backbone to her that I feel like you can kind of find her essence and who she really is.
Ooh, nice.
Which is incredible, but not at the level of exaggeration that they would like to subscribe to, that
she's
they would like
that,
to attribute to her.
Not that genius other level unattainableness.
She is a STEM goddess.
Nice.
She's a brainiac. She's a trailblazer.
Yep.
But she's not maybe superhero.
Gotcha. She's
We're
down
not
going to
give her the first of everything. She's a real person.
Nice. We need those too.
So I'm trying to get you there to who she truly is, but there's a lot of interesting information, true or false, about her online. But what is true is she was born in Egypt, northern Egypt, in 1917 in March.
Oh my gosh.
When she was young, her mother died from cancer.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So she had that loss at an early age.
Right. And it definitely had a huge influence on her. So after her mother died, they ended up moving to Cairo.
Gotcha.
Her family, she had siblings, I'm not sure how many, but her father took all of them to Cairo and invested his money in a small hotel in that region.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Clearly he did well, because by the time she was school age, he ended up owning the school that she went to and attended.
Oh, nice.
However, she always excelled at school.
Yeah.
She was always top of her class.
Nice.
No matter where she went.
He bought her a school.
Right. I know. My dad never bought me a school. Or a pony, and I'm still mad about it.
Oh, I can't.
You know, one thing that kind of threw me with all of this, I saw more than one place that she was so smart. She was honors student. She could do whatever. Mm-hmm. She could have gone on to be an engineer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe I don't understand why being an engineer in Egypt is so important.
Maybe there's more opportunity.
Maybe that's like
the doctoriness,
the whatever,
the lawyeriness,
the dam, the drilling.
Drilling.
So like, they're like, wait, we're being an engineer is like a god.
Yeah, true.
They're
like,
she could have been an engineer.
Yeah,
but she decided to be
a nuclear physicist.
Nuclear physicist.
I mean, there are.
She
levels.
Took a step down.
She did not
to be a PhD level nuclear physicist.
I think that measuring stick is wrong.
Yeah, like right here on Wikipedia, it says she achieved high grades in secondary education and could have pursued a career in engineering.
Could have.
She insisted on joining the Faculty of Sciences at Cairo University. In 1939, she obtained a BSc in radiology.
That's incredible for 1939. For women in science.
Yeah, yes. And is that influenced by her mother?
Yes.
Is the radiology?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, that makes her find the cancers that took her mother.
She ignored engineering.
To save people. Sorry, we're jumping all over your lady.
That's okay, that's okay. She pursued
a degree in sciences. We're doing exactly what she said was the complaint was. We're making her into this superhero.
Well, no, she was, though. She was incredible. Incredible. So she graduated the first of her class with honors, receiving a degree on the effects of X-ray radiation. She studied and received a degree on X-ray radiation on various materials.
Oh, nice.
So that was kind of her undergraduate focus.
And in 39...
That was a lot of syllables for undergraduate.
You did very good, Katie. I'm very proud of you.
Claps, claps.
But in 39, I mean, oh gosh, what was it? I think Marie Curie went for the First World War and was doing X-ray things. And we didn't know. Like, Marie Curie
it
still had radium in her pocket.
Edge. It was cutting edge.
We didn't know what it did. So,
and I think it's really cool that Samira really clung on to the fact that she thought this could be a medical breakthrough.
Yeah.
But she also was invested in the safety of what she was doing.
Nice.
So a lot of her time spent was on doing various experiments of what materials you could use, what exposure did to the patients.
Nice.
There was definitely that like model care. Of care there, for sure, for
I like
sure.
That. And also rare.
Right, right. So she ended up becoming an assistant professor at Cairo University, which makes her the first woman professor at Cairo University.
Wow.
We're talking 1939, right?
Yeah, cool.
So her wish was, this is a quote from her, "My wish is for nuclear treatment of cancer to be as available and as cheap as aspirin."
Oh,
yeah.
And I mean, in 2024,
we're sorry.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been amazing. Wouldn't it have been to have that? Because so many people go through chemotherapy and radiation treatments, and it's financially draining.
Right.
So, yeah, that would have been great.
And that's with insurance.
That's with it. Yeah.
That is financially draining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. We failed.
So I think the core of her research on nuclear potential mm-hmm. was definitely from that helping people standpoint.
Yeah.
It was definitely at her core was being able to save people from what her mother went through.
Yeah.
And in all the different articles or YouTube videos I found about her,
yeah.
that was a consistent.
Nice.
Was the reason she got into this was to make treatment and care available for people who are undergoing cancer treatment.
Yeah.
And one of the things that it's still controversial if it's true or not, but many sources attribute to her mm-hmm. is learning how to use copper to use that X-ray technology wow. instead of more expensive materials. Which very much aligned with her desire to make radiation an accessible treatment for all.
Oh, neat.
So.
Yeah.
However, I would say that that's probably the core of what I know about her to be true.
Gotcha. Yeah. The rest of it is a little bit sus.
A little bit sus, right?
That just seems great. I mean, 38 people.
Yeah.
We were writing stuff down. Like, how is this not known?
Right?
Right.
Woman in Cairo. That's probably why.
If only she had a TikTok.
I think she has, like, an autobiography out there.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. All right, must find.
Right? Yes. I don't know a lot of information about that.
Yeah.
But she's become something of, like, know how to put it, but kind of a representative,
okay.
an icon
mm-hmm. yes.
for Egypt, for women in STEM, women in science. So I think it's nice. Been exaggerated kind of from there, which
Fair.
Is a nice thought.
Yeah, yeah.
We definitely want to encourage other women that if you can see it, you can be it. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have to be that over the top.
Right.
We're already talking about the fact that she was the first female professor at Cairo University.
Yeah.
She was extremely smart.
Yeah.
She made lots of progress in the field that she was interested in.
Yeah.
And the rest of it becomes really kind of murky as
okay.
she gets out of that, like, earning her PhD level.
Okay. Gotcha.
She definitely is very involved in that nuclear physicist science stuff, which yes. I don't understand.
Right. Literally above pay grade.
Right. Right. There's a lot of information about how when the end of World War II came and Japan was bombed with nuclear bombs.
Right.
That she definitely turned her efforts towards using atomic energy for peace, radiation for peace.
Yeah.
And a lot of is it the Atoms for Peace is a slogan that's attributed to her.
Oh,
that's
but
so interesting.
If yeah, you look at it,
oh.
it came out 2 years after she died.
Oh. So did she say it and someone coined it, or is it not actually attributed to her?
Is it? Yeah. I don't know.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
That's fair. I don't know.
That's fair.
But I think at the core of it, too, we can say that she wanted to use radiation to help people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who she was and what she wanted. Mm-hmm. However, in that time period after she got her PhD, she ended up coming to the United States.
Oh, nice.
There's reports that she was offered a Fulbright scholarship.
Ooh.
Wow.
There's no record.
Oh. Sure.
That she was offered such a thing.
But if she already had, I mean, that would be to do more research. It would be to get another yeah. master's and because she had a PhD in education. Okay. Yeah, yeah, sure, sure, sure.
One thing that seems to be true.
Yeah.
I'm using finger my quotes. Fingers like yeah. bunny ears.
I know. Finger quotes on a podcast.
Seems
it's great.
To be true. yeah. Is that she was shown into secret U.S. atomic facilities.
Ooh, I doubt it because she was still a woman.
No. But yeah. theoretically,
yeah.
I almost want to believe it because it created controversy, of
oh,
course.
Of course.
Because yeah. not only was she a woman, but she was also a foreign woman.
Oh, yeah.
yeah Middle Eastern.
That's a double
Middle Eastern
nope.
woman.
Yeah.
Invited into atomic facilities.
Right.
The reason I wouldn't believe it is because shortly after that report, she was offered citizenship in the United States.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like we raised a stink by letting her come and
right.
look at this.
Right.
Although there's a little part of my brain that's like, if yeah. she wants to use radiation for peace, why would she be touring right. atomic radiation sites in the United States. Although I know science was happening. Science was happening.
I could also see U.S. scientists going, well, we'll just convince her to, you know, to come to our side of nuclear thinking and of the war machine. You know, like maybe we'll just convince this lady. And use her smarts.
So because that created quite the controversy, the United States did want to grant her American citizenship.
Okay.
However, she refused and said, Egypt, my dear homeland, is waiting for me.
Oh, that's lovely. Kudos. Bravo.
Right?
Especially during that time period. So, ew.
The other thing that's very shadowed and controversial about her is actually her death.
Oh.
She was actually still in the United States traveling and visiting. She was in Wyoming.
Okay.
When she died in a car crash in August 15th, 1952.
Oh.
So she was only 35 years old.
Oh.
She had an embassy, it was an Air Force civilian employee was assigned to drive her around.
So she was being chauffeured.
She was being chauffeured.
Okay.
There's things that say she was being chauffeured to an atomic site, to a hotel, to the airport to leave and go home.
Oh.
That part is not clear to me.
And why would you go to Wyoming?
Yeah,
because there was nuclear testing there.
That's like the only I mean, that's the only reason to be there. It's not
I
like
feel like she had there to have been
visit
there for
a
that.
University I know, for medical
right?
research
right exactly yes yeah not just in the city center because
Wyoming is so famous for their cancer treatment.
Right.
So on that day she was riding as a passenger in a 1952 Buick sedan.
Gotcha.
Driven by Arling Orwin Kessler, a civilian employee from Washington, D.C., when their car lost control and fell 52 feet into a 30-foot ravine.
Oh.
Both died at the scene.
Oh.
Jeez.
Yeah.
However, there's also reports that only her body was recovered.
Huh.
And the driver bailed before the car went off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of hearsay that it was an assassination.
Sure.
And that's why she died.
Get rid of her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That seems crazy.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very suspect. Very sus.
Well, it's just like, I mean, she just saw facilities. It's
right.
Not...
That she was being chauffeured to. So, like, they showed them to her.
Yeah.
Did she ask the wrong questions?
I mean, I have to say, like, there's a lot of... reporting of physicists and scientists involved in that nuclear research and technology that had mysterious deaths. So I don't know if she was a part of that, if it was just a total accident that had nothing to do with her research and her purpose for being there.
And how long was she in the country?
I'm not sure.
Gotcha.
There's really very little information about really her movements, which does seem very weird because we're talking 40s, 50s, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say,
we're talking Roswell. I'm sorry.
Do you know about her? Is that she was a brilliant woman.
Sorry, we've totally got aliens.
Okay. She was a brilliant woman.
Yes. Yeah.
Whose drive was to save people from cancer. Like, she wanted to further cancer treatment to make it widely available to save lives.
Yeah. And if she's being toured around by the military, those are counterintuitive to one another.
Beyond that, I really don't know.
Yeah, what the hell happened?
What her life looked like. But I do know that 35.
Yeah, it's a young,
5 years younger than I am right now. That is so young.
Yeah.
It really makes me think what she would have been able to accomplish.
Right, exactly. Having more time, more research ability, more exploration, and not
but
whatever
I will
she
say,
went into.
No matter which of these tales are true about her, she's definitely an icon in the film, in the field of STEM.
Absolutely.
And it's definitely a cool role model, especially for women in the Middle East.
Yeah. So. I love it. Well, I mean, you wrap that up so nicely.
But she's a mystery.
I know, right? Clouded in mystery. Right. Do you want to wrap it up, Jenna?
I do. Well, that wraps it up for us this week. Join us next week as another Middle Eastern gal is picked to share. As Gal's Guide podcast continues, thanks for listening.
Want to learn about more women of history? Gal's Guide opened a unique women's history lending library. Come visit and explore our collection. Learn more at galsguide.org. Thanks for listening.